Visitors by Eileen Enright Hodgetts. With the curtains closed and the outside light turned off, Lena was making it obvious that visitors to her trailer would be unwelcome. Nance stood with one foot on the cement block that served as a doorstep and turned to look back at her companion standing in the trash-strewn yard. Holly was a tall, slim figure silhouetted against the lights of the other better-maintained trailers, where satellite dishes sprouted from roofs, and the blue light of televisions flickered behind windows open to the warm night air.
"Hurry up!"
Holly's voice was young and impatient.
"Just making sure the police ain't still around," Nance replied. "What do you care about the police?" Holly asked. "You ain't done nothing."
Nance thought about her old Ford sitting outside her trailer with its out-of-date stickers and busted headlights.
"Don't do to attract their attention," she said.
"They're gone," Holly repeated. "I seen 'em leaving. Their lights was flashing when they went past my place. Kenny was looking out the window, you know, asking me what the police was doing here."
Nance stepped down from the makeshift doorstep. The dim light escaping from Lena's trailer showed her Holly's dissatisfied face, crowned with a tower of teased hair. She felt a tingle of annoyance. The girl needed to be told the lay of the land. She had brought her kids to laugh in Raccoon Valley Trailer Court. Police were going to become a fact of life. Holly gestured toward Lena's unwelcoming door.
"We have to find out what happened to her."
"I know what's happened to her," Nance said. "It's Joe Bob. Same as always. Every 6 months or so he goes out of his skull and beats her up bad. She calls the police and they take him away."
"She didn't need the police," Holly declared. "She needs a good lawyer."
"Yeah, well, she don't know no good lawyers."
Holly tossed her head.
"My boyfriend Spike's got a good lawyer. Kept him out of jail a couple of times. That was before I met him. I known him 6 months now, and he ain't in trouble no more."
Nance sighed. She's already guessed that Spike wasn't the father of Holly's two little hellions, and she's conceived an immediate dislike of the pasty-faced young man who spent his days sitting in an old lawn chair smoking cigarettes, and his nights somewhere other than at home with Holly and her sons.
"Why are you sighing like that?" Holly asked. "Me and Spike are decent people. We don't want to be living in no run-down dump like this, but there ain't no work in the mines no more. No need for you to be looking down on me. I mind my own business. My kids are clean. They don't go running in and out of people's trailers, making trouble. Ain't no one calling the police on them. Anyway, it's only till Spike gets a job."
Nance sighed again, remembering how once, 30 years ago and 50 pounds ago, she had been like Holly. Back then, she had believed that she one day would be able to leave the despair of Raccoon Valley Trailer Court behind her.
"So," said Holly, marching past Nance and placing one cowboy-booted foot on the cement block, "are we going to knock, seeing as how the police are all gone and all?"
Nance took a step back.
"I don't know how you talked me into doing this. I'm not one to mind other people's business. I've been minding my own business here for more than 20 years, and I ain't never gotten to no trouble for minding my own business. If people got to live all cooped up together like this, they got to mind their own business."
Holly stood firm.
"That's not right, and you know it, Miss Nance. We're like neighbors. I mean, we should see if she's all right, shouldn't we? She was screaming pretty good before the police came."
Nance was still reluctant.
"I'm telling you, if she needed hospital, they'd have taken her. All they took was him."
Holly tossed her head.
"Yeah, well, good riddance to him. She's better off without him. Maybe she don't want to be on her own."
"Better than being with him," Holly snapped.
Nance sighed again and hated herself for sighing. When had she stopped being young and ambitious and become a sad middle-aged woman with a wardrobe of stretch pants and loose shirts and nothing but memories to live on? How long ago had she lost hope in the power of the future?
You ain't never been on your own, have you? She asked. Holly stepped away from the door.
Well, no, I ain't. I always find someone.
So you don't know what you're talking about, standing there saying Lena would be better off on her own. You don't know nothing.
Well, no, but...
I don't care what anyone told you, Nance said. He's coming back.
Who?
Holly asked. My husband. Nance could feel Holly staring at her. She could see the expression of puzzled sympathy.
No one said nothing about your husband. I mean, it's obvious he ain't here, but no one said nothing to me.
He's coming back.
Holly shrugged her shoulders. Most of them don't.
You some kind of expert? Nance asked, irritated at the girl's assumption of worldly wisdom.
Holly shrugged again. Sorry. Didn't mean to interfere, but you started it. I didn't say nothing about your husband.
Silence descended between them, and Nance could hear the background drone of the neighboring televisions, music, canned voices, and the occasional cry of a child.
It just makes me mad, Holly said. A man like that beating up on a little old woman like Lena.
Nance chose to be offended again.
She ain't old. We was in high school together.
Holly was not ready to back down.
She looks old.
Well, she ain't old, Nance said definitively. Are you going to knock or what?
Holly shook her head.
You should do the knocking. She knows you. You being together in high school and all.
The cement block wobbled as Nance put her full weight onto it. She clung to the rickety porch railing and knocked on the door. She heard movement through the flimsy walls of the trailer, but the door remained closed.
Lena?
No answer.
Lena, honey, it's Nance. Are you all right in there?
Holly stood at the foot of the steps.
Maybe she's got a concussion. If he was beating her pretty good, she could have, delayed concussion.
Nance knocked harder.
Lena, honey, open the door.
Holly was beside her now. The wooden porch sagged beneath their combined weight. Holly banged on the door.
Are you all right, Miss Lena?
She turned to Nance.
You reckon we should call the police to come back and check on her?
Twice in one night, Nance said. You'd be giving this place a bad name.
She pounded on the door.
Come on, Lena. Open the door. It's just me and Holly from next door. We just want to know if you're all right.
Nance heard a shuffling behind the door. A dim light came on above Nance's head. The light of the single bulb in its fly-encrusted fitting brought with it a sudden fluttering rush of moths bent on suicide. A chain rattled and the door opened, slowly. Lena came timidly into the light. She had been a skinny little thing in high school, and she was still skinny. A small, stooped figure who carried herself with an air of defeat. She wore an old quilted house coat, and her hair, more gray than brown, straggled in greasy locks down to her shoulders. Red marks that would soon turn to bruises decorated her face. She clasped her right arm protectively with her left hand. Her voice was calm.
Hello, Nance.
Hello, dear.
Holly pushed her way forward.
Are you all right, Miss Lena? We heard you, you know. We heard you know what happened.
Lena nodded her head.
Yeah, I guess everybody heard.
Nance looked at her friend's battered face.
You all right, honey?
I'm okay. They took him away.
Yes, I know.
They're going to call me and tell me how he's doing.
Do you care how he's doing?
Holly asked. Nance thought how young Holly was, how little she knew about love.
He's her husband. But he beats her.
Not all the time, Lena said quietly. He don't beat me all the time.
Ha! Said Holly angrily. Once is enough.
If Spike laid so much as one finger on me, I'd throw his sorry ass out of my place as fast as you could say...
Lena shook her head and winced slightly at the movement.
I can't throw him out. This is his place, you know. And you're his wife, Holly said, leaning in to speak seriously. It's your place, too. You got the law on your side. Women have rights. You can kick him out.
Nance elbowed Holly aside.
She knows about her rights, she said. But this isn't the time to talk about it.
She looked at Lena, leaning weakly against the door frame.
Lena, honey, come out here and sit down. Don't go back into that stuffy old trailer. It's cool out here. You'll feel better.
Lena shook her head and turned back toward the open door.
No, I gotta be able to hear the phone. They're gonna call me, you know?
Yeah, said Nance, I know. How many times had she seen this scene played out as she peeked from behind her own window curtains? How many times over the past 30 years had she seen Lena, weak and beaten, waiting for the police to return a temporarily contrite Joe Bob? How many times had she returned to her own empty kitchen and empty bed and wondered if she should have given in to Billy as easily as Lena gave in to Joe Bob? If she had been so compliant, would he still have run off? Holly interrupted Dance's inner questioning in a loud, indignant voice.
So you're just going to let him get away with it?
Nance turned on her, hating her for her youth, her abundant hair, her long, tanned legs in cut-off shorts, and her idea that the world was somehow a place where women like Lena could obtain justice.
Mind your own business, Holly. Lena and Joe Bob be man and wife for longer than you've been alive. It ain't up to us to tell her what to do.
Holly shook her head and looked at Lena's bruised face.
Come on, Miss Lena. It's time to stand up for yourself. They'll charge him, you know, and he'll get, like, treatment and all. You gotta do something. You can't let him go on like that.
Lena straightened up. She smiled from beneath her split lip.
I already done it, she said.
Nance took a step back.
Really? You've done something? What have you done?
Lena looked over Nance's head, her gaze fixed on the night sky.
Something, she said softly. I done something. Good for you, said Holly. You going to get him charged?
Nope. Lena shook her head and winced. She renewed her grasp on her right arm.
I ain't going to get him charged, but I done something. I done it years ago. And one day,
her voice trailed off and she took a step out to the porch, still staring at the night sky.
One day, she whispered. Yeah, one day.
Holly stood aside and Lena slowly descended from the porch to the weed-choked yard.
What you done, Miss Lena? Come on, tell us what you done.
Lena shook her head.
It's a secret.
She turned back and looked at Holly, suddenly animated. But I don't want you thinking I'm some stupid old woman who just puts up with shit from her man 'cause she don't know no better. I know better. But I know something that none of yuns know.
Yeah, I got a secret.
Wincing with pain, she lifted her right arm and pointed up at the sky.
I got a secret. Out there.
She fell silent again, cradling her injured arm, and looking up at the sky and the dark shape of Tanner's Mountain, silhouetted against the starlight. Nance wondered whether Joe Bob had gone too far this time and inflicted some permanent damage on his wife. The arm was obviously causing intense pain.
You should get that arm looked at, Lena. It could be broken. You need a doctor.
Lena twisted away from her, animated and alarmed.
I don't want no doctors looking at me. I never let no doctors look at me. I don't want them to find it.
Find what? Nance asked. Lena shook her head and looked at Nance with intense suspicion.
Never you mind. It ain't nothing to do with you.
Miss Lena,
Holly spoke as she might have spoken to a wounded animal.
Let me look, please. I know a little bit about breaks and sprains and things. I got me two boys. I gotta know about stuff like that.
Lena took a long moment to consider Holly's offer. All right. You can look, but only at my arm. Don't go looking at nothing else.
Holly gestured to the old picnic table, sitting among the weeds and decorated with the various receptacles Joe Bob used for his smoking and his chewing. Lena sat down on the bench, and Holly sat down beside her. She began to feel her way from Lena's hand up toward her shoulder. Lena took no notice of Holly as she stared intently up at the sky. Nance sat down on the other side of Lena.
What's this secret you're talking about, Lena? I've knowed you all my life. You ain't got no secrets.
Lena turned to her, her face pale in the starlight.
You don't know everything about me. No one knows everything about me.
Holly finished her examination of Lena's arm and reached a hand toward Lena's face. Lena leaped to her feet.
Don't go messing with that. There ain't no need for you to be looking at my face.
How's my arm?
I don't think it's broken.
Lena laughed grimly.
I knew it. It'll take more than Joe Bob Williams to break me. I bend, but I don't break.
Why do you let him do it to you?
Holly asked.
Because I can't stop him.
Well, you could leave. Go to a battered woman's shelter or something. My sister done that. They was really good to her.
Lena began to pace from the picnic table to the ramshackle fence that separated the trailer park from the dirt road that led up to Tanner's Mountain.
I can't leave here. I can't never leave here. I have to be here when...
Once again her voice trailed away.
What? Holly asked. What are you talking about, Miss Lena? What's stopping you from leaving?
Lena was at the fence, staring at the dark shape of the mountain.
Never you mind, she said over her shoulder.
I can't leave. That's all. I can't leave. Nance rose from the picnic bench, ignoring a sudden twinge of sciatica pain, and went to stand beside Lena.
Don't get so upset, Lena. No one's asking you to leave.
Lena turned. Her face in the dim light of the porch was twisted with anxiety.
I can't be away. Not even one night. I might miss them, you know?
Miss who?
Nothing. Nothing at all. I'm saying too much.
Nance nodded her head.
You're just upset about Joe Bob.
Lena returned to her contemplation of the night sky.
Sometimes I want to tell him. I just want to scream it into his stupid ass face. I got friends, I want to say. I got friends, and one day they're going to come, and they're going to mess you up good, and they're going to take me, and...
The outburst had robbed Lena of her breath, and she leaned heavily on the fence rail. Nance turned to look back at Holly, who was now perched on the top of the picnic table.
Don't look at me. She's your friend, Holly said.
Yes, Nance thought. She's my friend. We sat together in kindergarten, and we've ended up together here in this godforsaken place. So far as Nance knew, Lena had never left Raccoon Creek, never gone anywhere. Never met anyone who could possibly be a cause of such mysterious hope. She leaned on the fence beside Lena.
Honey, what on earth are you talking about?
Lena shook her head vigorously.
Nothing. Nothing. I just wish they'd come, that's all. Tonight would be a good night. Yeah. Nights like this, that's when they come, you know? Nights like this.
When who come?
Lena gestured at the stars.
Them, she said defiantly.
Holly called out from her seat on the picnic table.
She means angels. Is that it, Miss Lena? Are you looking for angels to come?
Lena walked angrily away from the fence.
No, not angels. I ain't looking for no angels.
I don't believe in no angels. Holly jumped lightly down from the picnic table, and Nance envied her youth and agility. Considering the girl had already given birth to 2 children, she was really in good shape. Nance recalled how long it was since she'd been in good shape. How long since she'd been the kind of girl who could cast off one man and take on another.
You should believe in angels, Holly declared. My sister's got this angel book, and it says angels can do all sorts of things for you, stuff you can't do for yourself. I got China angels, you know, to watch over my boys. I put them up high so they won't break them. They break everything they get their hands on.
Nance ignored Holly and her China angels.
What are you talking about, Lena? Are you talking about friends? You got some friends somewhere that are going to come and get you? Is that it?
No. Lena's voice was still steeped in mystery.
Not friends. I don't got no friends.
She turned her face up to the sky.
How long have I got to wait? That's what I want to know. I've been patient, you know. But sometimes I wonder if they're ever coming.
She turned back to Nance.
Well, what if they don't come, Nance? What if they never come?
Nance could feel her anxiety, but she had nothing to offer except more questions.
Who, honey? Who are you talking about?
Lena pointed up at the stars.
Them?
Holly followed the direction of Lena's pointed finger.
Up there? People from up there?
Lena nodded her head.
Angels?
Holly asked.
No.
Nance stared up at the sky and traced a shooting star as it burned briefly and vanished behind Tanner's Mountain. She looked at Lena.
People from up there?
Yes.
Up in the sky?
No, not the sky. Beyond the sky. Beyond the sky, Nance thought. What was Lena trying to say?
Space? Holly asked. People from space?
Lena's voice was firm.
Yes.
Nance hesitated to ask the next question. She tried not to sound incredulous or judgmental. She kept her voice even.
You're waiting for space people?
Holly had no qualms about sounding incredulous.
You mean like little green men from Mars?
She looked at Nance.
She wouldn't let me look at her head, but she's got bruises, you know. He's been beating her around the head.
Lena interrupted angrily.
It ain't nothing to do with Joe Bob. I ain't making this up. I seen them. Years ago, I seen them.
Nance laid a hand on Lena's thin shoulder and felt her trembling.
Lena, honey, I don't think you know what you're saying.
The trembling increased, but Lena allowed Nance's hand to remain.
Sure I know. I know just what I'm saying. I'm saying I seen men and they wasn't from here. They came down out of the sky on a night like this. Just like this. Right here. Right in this trailer park. And I seen them.
Well, Nance said, trying to introduce reality into the conversation.
How come you never said anything? A thing like that, I'd expect you to say something. When was this?
1991.
Miss Nance, Holly asked, was you living here then?
Nance nodded her head.
Yeah, I was here, and I didn't see no men from Mars. Nobody here seen no men from Mars.
I seen them, Lena insisted. She pointed to the sagging fence in the dirt road beyond.
They came down. Right over there. Was you drinking, Miss Lena?
Holly asked.
I heard you used to be a drinker.
Lena looked at Nance,
Her face was calm, though her shoulders were still trembling.
See? That's why I never told nobody. I knew they'd laugh. I knew there wouldn't be no one believe me. I wouldn't tell you now, except I don't like the way that girl there is looking at me.
Me?
Holly's voice held a note of challenge.
What's the matter with the way I'm looking at you?
Like I'm some old fool woman without sense enough to get while the getting's good?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying about shelters and court cases and all that other stuff. But see, if I do that, then I won't be here when they come. And I gotta be here when they come. I know what you're thinking, Missy, but I ain't no fool. I got a plan. I got a way out of here. So don't you go looking at me all pitying like, I don't need no pity. I don't need no one's pity.
Lena swiveled away, and Nance caught hold of her, forcing her to turn around.
Lena, look at me. Now you just stop all this wild talk and tell me what you're really talking about.
Lena meant the challenge with fire in her voice.
I'm talking about August 24th, 1991, and you wasn't here that night.
Nance caught her breath.
August 24th? That's the night my Larry was born.
You wasn't here, Lena insisted.
Nance's memory of that night was painfully clear. The third baby, the one that Billy said they couldn't afford, the one that had broken what remained of love between them. He'd arrived 6 weeks before time. A tiny, fragile thing that demanded all of her attention.
No, Nance agreed. I wasn't here.
And your Billy wasn't here, Lena said.
Remembering was painful.
No, he wasn't.
And Joe Bob, he weren't here neither, Lena said. He was working nights then down at Miller's truck stop.
Okay, so you was on your own, Nance agreed. So what happened?
Lena took a deep breath. I was awake, you know, because I heard you leaving to go to the hospital. I reckon all that door slamming and hollering woke me up, so I'm lying there and the starlight shining in my window and I'm thinking about you and wondering how it would be going to the hospital for a baby.
She looked at Holly. I never had no babies.
I'm sorry, Holly muttered.
You don't have to be sorry. It don't matter to me no more. So I guess I goes back to sleep, and then I wake up again, and then there's this smell. And
was it kind of a sweet smell? Holly asked. That's angels. I heard about that. See, what with the baby being born and all, I bet there was angels around. They said there's a real sweet smell with angels.
It was a stink, Lena declared. A really rotten stink.
Holly's hand flew to her breast, tracing a cross on the surface of her T-shirt.
Demons! You seen demons! Oh, sweet heaven, there be demons here. No wonder there's so much trouble here, Miss Lena's husband beating her up and Miss Nance's husband running off like that.
She was poised for flight.
I gotta go. I can't let my boys be getting into trouble. If there's demons here, I'd...
Nance's anger boiled up from deep inside.
Demons! What did this girl know about demons? This girl hadn't lived long enough to know that demons didn't come from outside, and they came clothed in sweetness, not in stink.
Shut up, Nance hissed. Just shut up about angels and demons. Let this woman tell her story and close that stupid mouth of yours.
But shut up!
Nance turned back to Lena.
So what happened then?
Lena took another deep breath. Her shoulders were no longer trembling.
I start, you know, wondering where this smell is coming from, and I gets up to see if it's like inside the trailer or outside.
Well, it ain't inside, so I comes out, down these steps, and it was real quiet out here.
The night was kind of bright. No moon, no stars, just bright.
Wasn't like it is now with lights from all them houses down the road and such. There weren't much here then, just a few trailers, no lights. But it was bright. And there was a wind blowing, hot,
Sticky. Worse than daytime. It was strange. Real strange.
Holly persisted.
What about the smell?
Lena shrugged her shoulders.
I don't know. I came down here to the fence. I remember putting my hand on the fence, and I remember something about my hair. It was hurting, like someone was pulling it.
And then what?
Holly asked.
I don't know. I don't know nothing until morning. I was in my own bed, and it was morning.
Holly breathed a sigh of relief.
That don't sound like demons. But I don't know what the big secret's all about, a bad smell and somebody pulling her hair. That ain't no big secret.
No, Lena agreed. Wincing with pain, she moved her right arm. Her fingers scrabbled in her lank hair, and she plucked something from behind her right ear. She held it out in the palm of her hand.
This, she declared, is the big secret.
Holly stared at the flat metal disc in Lena's hand.
What is it?
Something they gave me.
Holly put out her hand.
Let me see it.
Lena closed her hand. No.
If you want me to believe you, you gotta let me see it.
Lena looked to Nance for advice.
She's right, Nance replied. I mean, it don't look like anything special to me, not from where I'm standing.
Lena handed the disc to Holly along with a warning.
You be really careful. I don't want nothing to happen to it.
Holly took the disc away to examine it in the dim light of the front porch. While she was out of the way, Nance took the opportunity to see if there's something that Lena didn't want to say in front of Holly.
What's really going on, Lena? You can tell me.
I already told you, and you already don't believe me.
I found that thing in my hair when I woke up, and I reckon that they put it there. That's why I remember them pulling my hair. I ain't been to the beauty shop since. I cut my hair myself now.
Nance looked at Lena's greasy rat-tail hair. Lena had always had long, pretty chestnut brown hair. Now the hair was more gray than brown and chopped off roughly at shoulder length. Something had affected the way Lena thought about her hair, and that something was apparently the little metal disc that Holly was scrutinizing.
So what do you think it is? Nance asked.
It's so they can talk to me. So they can tell me when they're coming back.
Nance could think of nothing to say.
They're coming to get me.
Lena's voice was filled with certainty.
But if you don't remember nothing about them, Nance asked, how do you know they're coming back?
I remember some things, Lena replied.
More than just the hair pulling and the bad smell?
Way more. But I didn't remember it all at once, like. It's come to me slowly in little pieces. Sometimes at night I get a little, you know, flash. I'll be sleeping, and then suddenly, like, I'll remember something.
She winced as she moved her injured arm.
One night I woke up and this arm had gone to sleep, and it was kind of, you know, tingling. And then I remember them doing something to my arm. I remember them holding it, and they had thin hands, very warm, very gentle. They was holding my arm, stroking it, I think.
But they didn't hurt you?
Lena was emphatic.
No, I told you they're my friends. They didn't hurt me.
She lowered her head and refused to meet Nance's eyes.
I think they did something else. Something kind of...
You're going to think I'm really stupid saying this, Nance.
No, Nance replied. I know you're not stupid. You're just confused.
Lena turned her head and looked at Holly, who was still standing on the porch.
I don't want her to hear.
She's not listening, Nance replied.
Come over by the fence.
Nance sighed impatiently.
What's this big secret that you can't tell me here?
Just come over to the fence, Lena hissed.
Nance followed her through the tall weeds and stood beside her looking at the dark shape of Tanner's Mountain.
Well? What is it? What do you think they did?
Lena stared out at the mountain and refused to look at her.
Well, you know.
No, Lena, I don't know.
Something.
Lena's words trailed away. Nance took a guess at what it was that caused Lena such embarrassment.
Do you mean sex?
Lena shushed her anxiously.
Yeah, something like that, she whispered. Kind of made me warm, all over. Made me feel real good. Really? I thought you didn't remember anything.
I remember that, Lena said emphatically.
Sex, Nance repeated. Why would they do that?
Lena shifted uncomfortably from one foot to the other.
Well, I've been thinking about that, and I've been thinking it wasn't, well, like, romantic or nothing. I mean, I don't suppose I look real good to them, being thin and kind of blue, and me being, well, you know, human.
Nance found herself at a loss for words and focused her gaze on the stars as she tried to imagine Lena in her housecoat being somehow seduced into having sex with thin blue aliens.
I reckon it was a breeding thing, Lena said defiantly. I reckon they was getting me pregnant.
Nance found a place where she could interject common sense into this discussion.
You ain't had no babies, Lena.
Not yet.
You think you're pregnant now?
Yeah, why not? I mean, who knows how long it might take to make one of their babies?
But wouldn't you know? Wouldn't you feel it?
Not if it weren't in the normal place, Lena said triumphantly. You see, I think that was what they were doing to my arm.
Nance glanced back at the porch and hoped that Holly wasn't listening to them. Lena's voice rose excitedly.
It could be anywhere, you know. In my head. It might come out of my ear, or my eyeball, or my big toe, or my...
Hey! Holly called from the porch. Hey, what's the matter with her?
Nance shook her head while disbelief battled with sympathy.
Don't even ask, she called back.
Lena landed a punch on Nance's arm. She was angry now.
See? I knew this would happen. That's why I never did tell no one. You don't believe me. I know you don't.
Nance rubbed her arm and took a step backward.
It is kind of hard to believe.
Lena pursed her lips, no longer caring that her voice was loud enough to carry to Holly.
All right, then. So you don't believe me. So tell me something, huh? If I'm making this all up... If I didn't see nothing, and if I don't have no alien probe in my brain, and no alien baby in my arm...
Holly's cowboy boots rattled as she came down the steps.
What did she say?
Nance shook her head. She had no words. Lena's face was a mask of challenging anger.
If I didn't have none of them things, then what am I doing here? How come I didn't leave years ago? I could have gone somewhere else years ago, and I could have found me another man, but I stayed here. And you know why I did that? I did that so as I could come out here on nights like this and I could look up at the stars and I could think about them coming to get me. Leaving that star of theirs way out there and coming all the way back here for me. And I had to be here. They're coming all that way across the sky. That's a long way to come. I gotta be patient and wait for them, and I can't let no stupid little Joe Bob Williams get in their way. But when they come,
Lena's voice trailed away as the telephone rang inside the trailer.
Your phone's ringing, Holly said. I know that, Lena snapped. I ain't deaf.
It'll be the police. They're going to ask me about charges.
You going to charge him? Holly asked.
Lena shook her head.
Ain't you listened to a word I said? I can't be going down there. I got to wait here.
She pushed past Holly and headed for the trailer steps.
No, I ain't going to charge him, she said, over her shoulder as she went up the steps.
She opened the front door, went inside, and closed the door with a bang that caused the whole trailer to sway on its cinder block foundation.
Holly stared at the closed door for a moment, and then she turned to look at Nance.
"She has a baby in her arm?" she asked. "What is that supposed to mean?"
Nance was so shaken by Lena's outburst that she couldn't find any words to answer Holly. It was all about babies, of course. Lena had always said that her lack of children didn't matter to her. Sometimes she'd even said that she was glad she hadn't condemned a child to a life with Joe Bob as a father. She said all those things, but obviously she hadn't meant them. And now she had created some fantasy child that would be born on some distant day with an alien as its father. Holly was insistent.
"Don't tell me you believe her."
"No, of course I don't believe her. But things are worse than we thought."
"Did you look at whatever it was she had in her hair? Do you have any idea what it is?"
Holly shook her head.
"It's some piece of shit made in China. Looks like a watch battery to me."
"Well, what would she be doing with a watch battery? She says it's been in her hair for years. Maybe it's something else. Does it actually say watch battery on it?" Holly considered the small object in the palm of her hand.
"No, it don't say watch battery, but it don't say alien mind probe either."
"But it says made in China." Holly shook her head.
"It's got Chinese writing on it."
Nance was suddenly embarrassed for Lena, embarrassed that Lena's shabby little secrets and pathetic imaginings were now objects of ridicule. By tomorrow morning, it would be all over the trailer park. She shook her head and looked at Holly.
"You don't know it's Chinese writing. I know you don't speak Chinese."
Starlight caught the whites of Holly's eyes as she rolled them impatiently.
"It's Chinese, or Japanese, or some shit like that. It sure ain't made in the U.S. of A."
She tossed the disc toward Nance.
"Look at it for yourself."
The disc hung in the air for a moment. Nance, taken by surprise, grasped for it and missed. It fell to the earth in the midst of a patch of tall weeds.
"Oh, Lord!"
Nance looked toward the tour of the trailer.
"We have to find it before she comes out. Why did you have to go and throw it?" "I thought you wanted to look at it." "Well, not like that."
With some difficulty, Nance went down on her hands and knees and began to feel around for the disc. Holly dropped to her knees and joined in the search, but after a few moments she sat back on her heels.
"We ain't never going to find it like this. It's too dark, and it's just a little bitty thing."
Nance continued to feel her way around, hoping she wouldn't find any unexpected prizes, such as a snake or a mole or a spider. Especially not a spider. She heard the trailer door opening and Lena calling from the top of the steps.
"They're going to keep him all night."
Nance saw that Holly was already on her feet. She struggled to stand beside her.
"What are you all doing over there?" Lena asked.
"We ain't doing nothing." Holly's voice was pure innocence.
"Nothing at all, Miss Lena. So what was it you was saying about your husband?"
Lena made her way down the steps.
"I said they was going to keep him all night. What was you doing in the weeds?"
"Nothing," Holly said airily. "Miss Nance thought she saw a mouse."
"Well, what would Nance be wanting with a mouse?"
Lena asked. "There's a dozen or so feral cats around here. There's no call for Nance to be catching mice." Lena was at the bottom of the steps now, her face alight with curiosity.
"You should go to bed," Nance said. "Get a good night's sleep while you can."
Lena shook her head. Nope. I'm just going to sit out here and look at the sky. I'll go to bed tomorrow. Joe Bob will be quiet as a lamb when he comes home. He's always quiet for a couple of days after.
"But you look tired," Holly said.
Lena walked across to the picnic bench and sat down. She looked at them with her head cocked to one side like a bird detecting a worm.
"What are you two playing at? Why are you trying to get me to go to bed?"
"It's kind of late, Miss Lena," Holly said.
"Well, then you go to bed."
Lena held out her hand. "Where's my communicator?" Holly looked at her with raised eyebrows.
Your what?
You know what I'm talking about. My communicator. The thing I gave you to look at. Give it back.
Holly mumbled a few words and Lena's eyebrows drew together in a frown.
Give it back.
She ain't got it, Nance said. We dropped it.
Lena was on her feet again, radiating panic. I just gave it to you to hold for a minute. How did you drop it? Is it broke?
Nance tried to sound reassuring. She was beginning to suspect that this night would end with her having to call the police on Lena, who was rapidly losing touch with reality.
It's not broken, Lena. There's nothing to break. It just fell into the bushes, but we can't find it because it's too dark.
We can look in the morning, Holly said. Lena launched herself at the girl with her fists flying.
You don't understand anything. Find it. You gotta find it. Don't you understand nothing?
She fell to her knees and began to crawl through the weeds.
Where is it? Where is it? Which bush? Come on, help me.
Nance stood over her as she scrabbled at the dirt and dry weeds.
Lena, honey, we can find it in the morning.
Lena looked up, and Nance could see the desperation on her face.
No, no, what if they come tonight? We gotta find it.
She flung herself back into the grass. Nance reached out and caught hold of the back of her housecoat. She raised her voice and spoke firmly.
Lena, stop it. You're just making it worse. You gotta do this slow and steady. You gotta wait for daylight.
It's just an old watch battery, Holly said. Lena sprang to her feet and renewed her physical attack, slapping and punching at Holly.
You don't want them to come, do you? You're like everyone else. You're scared of them, aren't you? You don't want them talking to me.
Holly fended off the attack with an ease that was obviously born of long practice.
You're crazy, she said as she pushed Lena away. You're just a crazy old woman. I was going to help you, but you know what? I changed my mind. I'm going home. I thought I should be sorry for you with that old goat beating up on you, but now I don't care no more. You're crazy. You deserve whatever you get.
Lena shouted at the top of her voice.
Bitch!
Holly turned her back and walked out of Lena's yard and onto the gravel road that ran through the trailer park.
Lunatic!
She said over her shoulder as she departed. Lena stumbled away and threw herself down on the steps to her trailer. Her shoulders shook with sobs. Nance was overcome with a desire to follow her own advice and go back into her own trailer and close the door. In the morning, Lena could look for the battery, or whatever it was. In the morning, there would be no talk of sex with blue aliens or metal discs implanted in people's heads so they could be ready when the spaceships landed. Lena stopped sobbing. Now she was a small, hunched figure sitting in the ruins of her demented dreams, waiting for Joe Bob to come back and beat her again. Nance knew something of life without hope. She always told people that her husband would return one day, but she knew that he wouldn't. Nothing was going to change for her. She would stay here in Raccoon Creek until her trailer rusted away, or caught fire, or was blown over in a summer storm. She sat down on the step next to Lena. How could she, who had no hope, deny her friend her hopes?
We'll find it in the morning, she said.
Lena hung her head and looked at the ground.
Why'd you bring her here? Why'd you let her in my business?
Nance patted Lena's shoulder.
She wanted to help you. I mean, you got to see how it looks to outsiders, Lena. That Joe Bob is a mean little bastard, and you just let him beat up on you. I've been watching it for years. The police come, they take him away, and the next day he's back again, and a couple of months later he does it all over again. I ain't never said much. I've known you all these years, and I kind of got used to it. But these young girls are different. They don't put up with no shit like that. Girls like Holly, they know their rights. They don't take nothing from no man.
Lena choked on a sob.
I gotta stay. I told you.
She ran her fingers through her hair.
I don't
feel right without it.
What do you mean?
When I'm wearing it, I get like a tingling in my brain.
All the time?
Yeah.
Somewhere in the recesses of a heart that had known very little happiness, Nance felt an awakening of hope.
It's been tingling in your brain since 1991?
Lena nodded her head.
That's kind of a long time for a watch battery.
It ain't no watch battery, Lena said firmly.
She lifted her head and looked at Nance.
I didn't tell you everything. Not while that girl was listening, but there's something else.
Yes, Nance thought. There's bound to be something else. Lena was sitting up straight now, looking Nance in the eye.
I seen it on the television. One of them specials they do about UFOs and all, and they was talking to people, you know, people who'd seen aliens. Alien abductions, it was called. Did you see it?
No, I don't think so. I don't get to choose what we watch. Bill always chooses football.
Bill's gone, Lena said.
Yeah. Nance wondered why the thought had suddenly stopped making her sad. Bill was gone. No more hours on end of football. The sound of the commentators reaching every corner of the trailer. No more basketball. No more wrestling shows. For once, she was free to change the channel.
Lena was still talking. There were these people talking about what they seen and what they felt, and when they was talking, I realized they'd seen the same things I'd seen.
But you didn't see nothing, Nance said.
No, Lena replied. I didn't remember nothing, but that don't mean I didn't see nothing. When they was talking, all sorts of things flooded back into my mind. They showed drawings, you know, of the aliens, and it was like I recognized them. And some of them said the aliens done experiments on them, just like they done on me. And then I knew. I mean, I really knew they was going to come back one day, and they'd find me, and they'd take me away with them.
Nance looked up at the stars. Tonight they were crowded into the sky in the millions. She looked down at Lena, seated quietly beside her, gazing at the stars with red-rimmed eyes.
Would you go with them?
There was no hesitation in Lena.
Oh, yes, I'd go. Wouldn't think twice about it. Up there, flying among the stars. Think about it, Nance.
Nance was already thinking about it. She thought about not living in Raccoon Creek, not going to First Baptist on Sunday or bingo at St. Rocco's on Wednesday, not seeing the seasons come around, not seeing the wildflowers sprouting on the hillside. She wasn't sure she could leave. And then there was the question of Bill. The desperate hope was still there.
No, Lena, she said. I don't think I could go. What if Bill comes back?
Lena gave a short bark of a laugh.
You think I'm stupid staying with Joe Bob? Well, it ain't no more stupid than you waiting for that Bill of yours. He ain't coming back. He's run out on you, Nance. He'll get tired of her one day.
Nance knew that there was no confidence in her voice. Lena clasped her arm.
Forget about Bill. He don't matter. Joe Bob, don't matter. None of it matters when you got something else to think about. When they come for me, I'm going to go with them, and I'm going to be up there flying around among the stars, and I ain't never going to think of Joe Bob ever again.
Nance, under the influence of the starlight, spoke as though a journey into space was a possibility.
You think they'd ever let you come back here? You know, when they was finished?
Don't want to come back, Lena said.
Never?
No.
Ain't nothing to come back to.
Lena rose decisively to her feet.
I can't just sit here. I gotta do something. Suppose they come tonight. What then?
She turned her back on Nance and scurried back across the yard and up the steps to the trailer. Nance followed her and had the door slammed in her face. As she stood on the porch, she heard loud bumping noises from inside Lena's home. She raised her hand and knocked firmly on the door.
Lena? What are you doing in there, girl? You want me to come and help?
Lena's muffled voice was heavy with sarcasm.
No, thank you, Nance. You helped me enough already. Wait out there. I'm doing something.
Nance turned away. Somehow Lena's expectations had transferred themselves to her, and she stared at the sky and wondered.
Wondered what? Would they come? Were they real? Could she, Nance, could she just walk away from her home and her hopes and fly off into space, never to return?
A light blossomed and died high above Tanner's Mountain. She was still staring at the spot where she'd seen the light when Lena came out of the trailer carrying a flashlight.
It ain't much, Lena said, indicating the feeble glow of the light. Needs new batteries.
I saw a light, Nance said. Oh, no.
Lena scurried down the steps. Come on, hurry up. We have to find it. I have to talk to them.
It was probably nothing, Nance warned.
It's them, Lena declared. I know it's them.
She fell to her knees in the patch of weeds.
I gotta find it.
Nance looked down at Lena, who was scrabbling with her fingers and kicking up a cloud of dust.
Lena?
What? If I was here with you, you reckon they'd take me?
Lena looked up. You want to go?
I don't know.
Lena jumped to her feet, banging impatiently on the flashlight casing.
I can't see nothing with this thing. It ain't got no juice. I'm going to miss them. I know I am.
Nance thought about the light she had seen above the mountain. But maybe it was just a plane.
And maybe it wasn't, Lena said, returning to her frantic searching.
Tell me if you see the light again.
A circle of white light bloomed on the ground beside Lena. Nance took a startled step backward and saw Holly, holding a bright white flashlight, the kind that was normally used to spot deer.
I came to help you, Holly said.
Lena looked up at her.
Go away. I want to help.
You called me a lunatic, Lena said.
And you called me a bitch.
Nance looked up at the dark slope of the mountain. The light bloomed again, this time on the mountain and not in the sky above it. Nance was filled with urgency.
Hush up, the pair of you. Give me that flashlight, Holly. Lena, you keep an eye on the mountain.
Did you see something? Holly asked.
A light. Up on Tanner's Mountain.
Lena stumbled to her feet and stared up at the mountain.
I don't see it.
Keep looking, Nance said. It comes and goes.
She held the flashlight, and Holly resumed the search among the weeds.
I smelled something, Holly whispered. A bad smell.
That's McAllister's septic tank, Nance said. I've been smelling that all evening.
Holly shook her head.
It don't smell like a septic tank to me.
Lena turned her head. I can smell it now.
Is it the same smell? Holly asked.
Lena sniffed the air.
It could be. Could be angels, Holly muttered. I hope it's angels.
Nance knelt down on the ground beside her, searching the dry-as-dust soil for Lena's little talisman.
So, she whispered, why did you come back? Are you beginning to believe her?
Are you? Holly asked.
No, of course not.
Well, Holly said, I was thinking. You know, my sister, she believes in angels, and there ain't no one thinks she's dumb.
That's because angels ain't dumb, Nance said. All kinds of people believe in angels. Angels, aliens, Holly said. It don't make no difference. I mean, they're all hope, aren't they? All some kind of way to get out of here. Some sort of promise of better things.
Nance's questing fingers located a small metal object. She lifted it and brought it to the light. And there it was. Lena's alien communicator.
I found it! Hallelujah! Lena grabbed the prize from Nance's hand. Before Nance had risen to her feet, the disc had disappeared into the tangle of hair behind Lena's right ear, and a beatific expression had spread across her face.
Nance couldn't take her eyes off of Lena's transformed face.
Are you feeling anything?
Tingling.
That all? Nance asked. They ain't talking to you?
Not yet. Nance looked at the mountain. The slopes were dark.
Maybe we missed them.
Holly had her hand on Lena's arm.
We ain't missed them, she said firmly, guiding Lena toward the picnic bench. Come on, Miss Lena. We'll sit out here and wait. Come on, Miss Nance. We'll all sit together.
They sat in silence, staring at the sky. Nance had an overwhelming desire to laugh.
We gotta look pretty stupid sitting out here sniffing McAllister's septic tank.
Holly shook her head.
That ain't what we're doing. We're waiting for something. It's good to have something to look forward to. It's good to have hope.
Nance had a moment of complete union with the hopes of the women beside her. Her own hope that Bill would return and the loneliness would end. Holly's hope for a secure place to raise her boys. Lena's hope that one day the beatings would end. A burst of brilliant white light lit the summit of Tanner's Mountain and beamed directly up into the sky. Lena rose to her feet.
Going.
Nance clutched at her friend's hand.
It's not them, Lena. It's not real.
Lena shook her head.
They're telling me to come. No, Nance protested. There's someone up there spotting deer.
You're just too scared to go, Lena said.
I'm not scared. If I didn't have my boys, I'd go with you, Holly said. You should go, Miss Nance. What's the worst thing that could happen?
Nance considered the question for a minute. She weighed the possibility of riding among the stars in an alien spaceship against the possibility of spending the night on the summit of Tanner's Mountain and returning in the morning to resume her hopeless life. What's the worst thing that could happen? Holly had asked. Nance knew the answer. The worst thing that could happen was the abandonment of hope.
Lena was at the fence now.
Nance stood up.
I won't say nothing to no one, Holly said, rising to her feet and giving Nance a hug. If you don't come back, I'll know why. And if you all do come back, well, at least you know you tried. You didn't just sit here and take whatever life throws at you.
Lena was already over the fence. Nance followed her. The light on the mountain bloomed again. It was closer now. Nance held Lena's hand, and they climbed together.